It's Tuesday, Tommy.
The Daily Talk Show.
And episode 36?
Yeah, we were just talking about episode 40 that's on its way. And we're doing it from Krispy Kreme.
I'm excited.
I've been tagging you in things from Krispy Kreme.
They remind me a lot of the shakes that I enjoy from Domino's. Remember, I was sort of obsessed late last year.
Well, I didn't even know that Krispy Kreme did a bunch of shakes.
Oh, I did. Anyway. Well, it's a good, like, if you're going to fuck yourself by eating a donut, might as well
wash it down with
some
7,000 calorie shake. What do you reckon the most calories in a day you've eaten? Just off the top of your head.
Yeah, I'm thinking 15,000.
Reckon 15,000.
Yeah.
And that wasn't, were you trying to eat a lot?
I was trying to in the sense that I would have just been eating non-stop. I'm trying to think of where it would have been.
That's a couple of pizzas, some desserts, like a bag of lollies.
Yeah.
A big lunch. Like a
drinks. I reckon most people who would reach that, you'd need to rely heavily on the sort of drinks you're having. So having like a thick shake will tip you over, because it's essentially like having ice cream, but it's like big and it's filled with sugar.
We will be consuming a lot of calories this coming
Sunday.
We'll see.
I feel like I had a low-cal day. I'll describe...
I'm already bored and I don't want to go into your...
We know that you're triggered, but I'll just quickly tell you. I had a peanut butter slice. Oh, actually, no, it's not a peanut...
Why does anyone care about this? Do they? What do they care about what you had for lunch yesterday?
It was breakfast, but... No, maybe you're right.
A quick update from yesterday's story I told about my son being bitten by another child.
We're closing a loop. Close the loop.
Well, I went to pick him up yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was keen to look at his arm to see the bite mark. And we went up and got there maybe like 6 p.m. And we went in and got him. And he seemed in good spirits. He was out just, you know.
Any bruises?
Hanging out with kid. And I saw his arm.
Yeah.
And there is a little bite mark. It's like the, like little baby teeth. It's cute. But I said to the educator, that's what you call them, Josh, educators.
Educator, yeah.
I said to them, oh, who did it? And they said, we can't disclose that information. I think, God, they keep this under wraps.
That is so funny, isn't it?
And then I thought, okay, I reckon I might be able to work this out based on
everyone's teeth.
The teeth mark.
Little boy, how many teeth have you got?
Because there was maybe sort of two at the bottom. It was probably about five teeth.
Yeah,
it was a five teeth mark. So I reckon if I just keep an eye out to see the other kids.
Let's just spend 30 seconds trying to deconstruct how we can find out who it is.
Well, it's the teeth. I think that's the only way. Maybe. Asking some of the other parents. Oh, yeah, it's funny. Your daughter bit Bodie's arm. Just lead in with that they did it.
I reckon, another tactic could be if there's a kid that's like wearing a mouth guard. I wonder what their process... What you'd probably do to find out, you'd need to say, what's the process? Mm. How do we know it's not happening again? And if we see some little kid that's like behind some sort of barrier, like a...
Well, yeah, I mean, the approach is just like being cool with the educators. Oh, yeah, you know, this stuff happens. Oh, who was it? No, you can tell me. It's fine.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Get real friendly with them.
Yeah, it was Daniel, wasn't he?
Play them off. Oh, Channa mentioned the other educator. I could say, like, one of the others mentioned it was this kid. And they're like, oh, no, it was this kid. That's a good way.
That's a
good... Just leading them down the...
Or just being like, oh, mate, this would be something Bodie would do. I feel bad for the parents. Are they okay? Was it... Single parent, was it Janice? But the thing, I guess that it's different. I reckon probably the differentiating factor with this case is that they're still babies, right? Mm. I reckon once they get to like 4 years old, then everyone's got their little personality in a bigger way. Mm. And I just remember being in, there was the naughty kids in kinder.
Yeah.
And that they would swear a lot. And I remember we used to think we're so cool. We'd get like the paddle pop sticks.
Yeah.
And we would put masking tape across the whole thing of it. So it was sort of like this masking tape stick.
Yeah.
And we'd just sit pretending to smoke.
Really?
And we thought that we were top dogs. I was an asthmatic, so...
No wonder there's a problem with smoking. See, I'm an asthmatic, and I smoked a bit, but it was like, it's mainly the thing, other than it's unhealthy for you. But it's like, it is... I feel like I could potentially smoke if I wasn't an asthmatic. Because if it wasn't bad for you... This sounds stupid. I'll synthesize my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I smoked a little bit when I was young,
mm-hmm.
just to be cool. But I always struggled because of the asthma, so I was like staying away from it because I feel like thinking. I can't breathe as soon as I'm around smoke or I start smoking.
Yeah,
it's but then
a good reason not to smoke.
So I see people out having a smoke, talking to each other, and I think, that'd be so good if that was healthy for me.
Yeah,
it'd be great because you get to socialize.
A little bit of a break in your day, going downstairs, talking shit. It definitely brings people together. Like I know that places that I've worked where you'll have lawyers speaking with like junior burgers and all that sort of thing, and all their like their connection is a nicotine habit.
Well, this dude at my wife's work, he goes down maybe 4 or 5 times a day, which if you were to say they're 5-minute breaks,
yeah,
that's not his lunch break.
He's full on, isn't it?
I thought the owner of that company would be pissed off, don't you reckon?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're paying for somebody to go down and have a ciggy. And Amy said to this dude, do you like that you smoke? And he said, no, I hate it. And it's an interesting thing because a lot of people that smoke don't like the fact that they smoke.
Well, people
and that's
stress,
right?
But the thing is, I think that that's like the same with like lollies or junk food or stuff like that. You don't like, it's that weird thing of like, oh, should we get it or should we? It feels like a treat.
Yeah.
But it's not treating yourself because you feel like fucking shit after it.
He started smoking late in life. Like
that's
a,
what
like
I always...
28.
I never understood.
What's
like starting late. The thing that's been happening to me lately is I'm always like, ooh, that smells nice.
Mm.
And then I look and it's a guy's got a vape pen.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, ooh, apple and
cinnamon. Have you ever smoked a vape?
No, never. I've never... Like, I have just this weird unit where I'm like, I just get scared of things where I'm like, I just don't want to engage.
Mm. Scared of what? Of the vape?
No, I'm scared of... Well, it's like if it's the... If we know that it's not good for us, then what is the benefit of trying it? So the for me, it only can end badly. The good solution is I'm like, oh, that's what it's like. But I feel like I get enough of that through passive smoking anyway. I feel like I'm sure I've tried smoking through... Like when I used to go to the drag races as a kid... It just reminds me of like...
Your family was the family out of upper middle Bogan.
Exactly. And the... but I just remember that. Or like dad taking me to like factories or whatever when he... Like mates who, you know, had businesses and would go there. And it would always have this smell of like mechanic, oil, ciggies.
I did work experience year 10 at a golf course. Have I told you this story?
No.
And I love the thought of working on a golf course, like being outside in the mornings.
Like being the greensman?
Yeah, greensman. So I did like greenskeeping.
What golf club?
Brighton Golf Course.
Ooh.
And I had to get there at like 4:30 a.m. super early. So they start before the golfers come.
Right.
And it's an early morning sport anyway for a lot of people. And so they get they basically make a new hole on most of the greens, fill up the old one, make sure everything's going along. And I love the being in the buggies. Like we were driving around buggies and just like, I felt like it's like a privilege to be on those buggies on a course.
For whatever reason, it definitely, I remember I had a golf coach and my favorite thing was he had sort of a custom buggy that was like petrol run and went fucking fast.
Right, they're awesome.
And we'd just like go, and that was sort of that was almost like the buy-in, which was like I was essentially paying for a buggy ride. That's what I was most excited about.
I get to ride around in these, and that was one of the appeals.
Yeah.
But there was also some darker sides to this.
Happiness in the darker side, one of our better eps.
In the toilet. Let me just paint the picture of the guys. I think this will paint the picture of the guys who worked at the golf course. I don't know about now. In the toilet, a knee-high pile of porn mags.
Yeah.
I got stuck into them while I was on the toilet, just having a quick browse, as you do when you're 15 years old.
Absolutely.
But But here's the other thing. When we were driving around, and this is a joke between me and my bro, and it has been since then, he'd say to me, this guy would go, smoke, mate. Smoke, mate. And I'd say, yeah, yeah, mate. And he'd hand me a ciggy, and I'd smoke in the car with him when we're driving around. And he'd just...
And you were 15.
Every couple of hours, smoke, mate. Smoke, mate.
What
and
a
I'd
dummy.
And I'd punch durries with him.
That's so fucked.
I just remember feeling like a bit asthmatic, but wanting to be cool. Just having a having
It's
a
actually
ciggy.
Making me breathe funny. It's
horrible. Smoke, mate.
Smoke, mate. I'm going to take that. Smoke, mate. The, Bree and I went to Fiji a year and a half ago, or a year and a bit ago, and we played a round of golf. Well, I played a round of golf, and yeah. Bree sort of handed me the clubs.
Oh, sorry, just one thing. What do you reckon is more boring, a round of golf or
finding
you
out
and
what
I talking about golf stories?
No, I reckon what's even more boring is me describing what I ate yesterday. Which, at the end, let's say what I had for dinner. We know that we had this little peanut butter slice. But can I just very quickly...
No, don't go
no,
off.
No. Just very quickly on that. Peanut butter slice sounds like it's some sort of vegan or like unhealthy thing.
Yes.
It was literally... It was like a grainy... It was like a... Lots of seeds and stuff, and it just had like peanut butter as sort of the thing that would stick it together.
Mate, it's a piece of toast with peanut butter.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like healthy. It wasn't like some sort of sugary bullshit.
Yeah, so back to you in Fiji.
Bree was telling me to be careful on the golf buggy, and I've got this footage because we're filming on the GoPro of me nearly flipping the buggy.
Oh, shit.
And when she's like... It's like Bree screaming, I told you. She's like really mad because I literally like hit this. We went over hill not knowing that it sort of dipped really low. Mm. And I just like smashed.
Is that on a video?
Yeah.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah, I've heard that voice.
Yeah. I'll have to, maybe we'll link it up. But I also, that's not the only golf buggy story. I remember I was at Eagle Ridge Golf Club with a mate in high school and his grandpa, and it was a wet day and there's footage. I wish I still had, it's probably somewhere in the archives, but there's this footage of them filming me and then I'm just like sliding along going sideways because it was so wet on the, and this was like a couple of $100 a game sort of golf course. It was really like,
dude, there's a lot of etiquette these courses.
It's full on.
Old school, old money in a lot of golf courses.
Well, I used to play about 3 to 4 times a week.
Are you like, any good?
Nah, I was always like a handicap of 32, which was the maximum for a junior. It was so frustrating because I always looked at people. My uncle used to caddy for Craig Parry, who's an Australian golfer.
Successful?
Yeah, pro. And I would always... and he's now the one that's like a CEO of a, like an Arab soccer team.
Interesting.
In Abu Dhabi.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy. Anyway, he went into... After caddying, he went into like sports management and then went into being like a... Be fat. I just want to go. I'd love to go to Abu Dhabi. Is Abu Dhabi the one... Let's get confused. You've got Dubai.
Yeah.
Abu Dhabi is the one, is the, we might cut your hands off if you do anything.
I'm not sure.
Is that like the real crazy one? Well, not
I've
crazy.
I've just stopped over there.
Yeah. No, it's not Abu Dhabi then. What am I thinking about, guys? It's the one that...
Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. It's where all the oil money is.
Yeah. Exactly. I think that he's a... Anyway, I'm getting distracted. But he... I was always excited about golf because... I would see people with similar BMI to me doing
body
really
mass
well.
Index.
Yeah, people doing really well in golf, and you could like be a bit chub. And by the end of my golf career, when I was a kid, I call it a career; it was a hobby. We used to go to the golf club and would tell our parents that we were playing golf, but would go straight to the clubhouse, order a big basket of hot chips and cherry cokes, and we'd just sit there all day.
So, yeah, I told my mum I was going somewhere, but it wasn't to the golf course. And then me and my mates were smoking bongs behind the shelter shed. That's it's the difference in Josh and I.
And look, we've both worked it all out.
Yeah, we have. We're good. Hey, my bro told me a funny story. Actually, I saw the story unfold, which is even better.
Great.
Because I felt like I was a...
Which bro?
In a cinema. My eldest brother, Anthony.
Yeah.
He was saying to me, fuck, my boss is saying that my phone doesn't work.
What sort of career are they?
He's an electrician.
Okay, yeah.
He's like, my boss is telling me my phone doesn't work. He calls me, it goes straight to message bank. And he's like, texting, it's not working. But I call him and I'm like, mate, it's working.
Did he block his number or something?
And he said to, and his boss said to him, did you block my number? No. Like, what? Do you know how to block a number on a mobile phone?
Yeah.
Like, you need to go into...
You have to go, like, the contact or something. And
I'll
like,
do it to you right now.
No, don't do it.
But I'll unblock it, right?
Okay.
I just want to show you how.
Wait, just very quickly. No. Before you do that, go to favourites.
You're not in my favourites.
You got to be fucking kidding me.
You're not in my favourites. I'll put you into my favourites.
No, I don't want to be in your fucking favourites. But I'm just pulling up my favourites. You are second in my favourites behind Bree. Second.
I'll put you in my favourites.
No, I don't want to be in your fucking favourites.
Do you know how I call you? Do you know how I call you? I don't even... Call Josh Jansen.
And then it's saying call Josh.
Anyway, I use Siri. I don't ever go into my favourites... Anyway, so
because you'd probably call me, how, like, if you were to do the math.
I called you at 8:11 a.m. today. Yesterday I called you, or we spoke on Sunday. Yeah, anyway, we've spoken a lot. We speak a lot. Beside the point, I'll put you in my favourites to make you feel better.
I don't fucking need it, but that's outrageous.
So you need to go onto your contact.
Yeah.
And then down the bottom it says block this caller.
Yeah.
And then it tells you. To, like, you're basically confirming.
Yeah.
So now I've blocked.
What happens if I text you?
So text me now.
Do you get a text? Do you get a text message?
So I've just blocked Josh's number completely.
I wonder if this is doing something. So just, Apple thinks we're no longer. Hey, mate.
Just.
I'm really getting bogged down, aren't I? Yeah. So I've sent the text. It looks like it's sent from my end.
Okay.
Do you get it?
I haven't got anything yet. Does it say it's sent?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it doesn't actually. Oh, it doesn't say delivered. That's the difference.
So. You haven't been able to text me. So my brother's boss was saying, mate, you've blocked me. And my brother was going, no, I have not. Because in defense of him, it's actually, you need to go in and block someone. And it takes a bit of effort.
Hi, you've called Tommy Jacket from Frisbee & Co.
So I just get your voicemail.
Yeah, so it just goes straight to voicemail. And so my brother was walking around the house going, I haven't blocked him. So my other brother, Michael... grabs my phone. I want you to do this right now.
Okay.
Go into settings. Do this on your phone. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Go into settings. Go to phone.
Yeah.
Go to call blocking and identification. So phone.
Phone.
Call blocking and identification.
Yeah.
And it comes up with all the numbers you've blocked. Have you got any there?
I've got about 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 numbers.
Okay, yeah. So I've got 4. Five, including you.
A lot of mine are like fucking telemarketers, I think.
Yeah, mine are too.
As soon as I hear it, I'm like, actually, I don't want to engage anymore.
So,
can you unblock me now before
my brother,
it becomes an
My
issue?
Brother went in and checked if he was being blocked.
Yeah.
And he'd blocked his boss. So, there was a...
Do you reckon a night out or something? And he like, what was...
He went to Rainbow Serpent, which is a 4-day music festival, and he reckons that it could have happened then by accident.
By accident.
But he wouldn't do it on purpose.
No, but by accident in the sense that, like, he might have just been off his chops and he's done it.
So,
no?
Well, maybe. Because it might have been one of his latest calls or something. He's just somehow pressed it. So I'm unblocking you, Josh.
Thank you.
But how fuck's that? He's blocked his boss who's trying to contact him about work constantly. And he's telling his boss, no, I haven't blocked you, mate. Because you wouldn't think he did. Yeah.
What do you think is the... Like, what's the etiquette around answering calls? So I'm trying to work that out at the moment. Being where we have service-based client businesses.
Yeah.
And so I always pick up my... I'm very good at picking up my phone. Mm. It's like, I think that I've like... At least in the last like year, I sort of pride myself on... Even if I don't know the number, I'll like generally pick it up. But I'm starting to realize as I've got probably 6 main projects on the go at the moment, and it's just I can't context switch. I can't switch between them all. So I'm having to be like, I'm thinking about using do not disturb more. But how would you go about setting the expectation?
When you do it, I think I even replied. Oh, no, I replied to Craig, my mate Craig Harper.
Yeah.
He's a busy dude and I call him. Frequently.
Yeah.
And he presses that button that says, busy right now. We'll call you another time. Uh-huh. And I just wrote back to him, texted him probably more annoying. I said, fuck, the auto response is so serious. Call me when you can. But it's like, it is. I think it feels like it's not.
So having custom ones, I don't know whether this was a mate's car or not that was doing this.
Yeah.
But I texted him and I actually got a message automatically, like basically, Lucy is tagging us up on Instagram.
Is the problem when Josh picks up his phone.
Lucy was on the last episode. See, this is what happens. I completely lose train of thought. Text messages. All right, give me a sec. I want to read you this text message that I got when my mate was in his car. Here we go.
Auto response. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So I got this auto. It was fucking great. I got this response where it was like, it was two texts, one after the other. One has a car emoji and says, yeah. I'm driving with do not disturb while driving turned on. I'll see your message when I arrive at my destination. And then in brackets, I'm not receiving notifications. If this is urgent, reply urgent to send a notification through with your original message. I don't know if that was a car thing. He was driving an Audi at the time. I don't know if that's like an Audi feature.
So what he's done is, you must be able to set an autoresponder if you put your do not disturb on. That's what he said. He goes, I have my do not disturb on. And this is...
If that's the case, that's fucking genius.
It is good.
So
he's bragging about the fact that he's one of the people on the road that don't use their phone while driving, which I appreciate very much.
Oh, fuck. It's literally in the phone. So under Do Not Disturb,
yeah,
there is an automatic one, an auto reply, and you can set auto reply to no one, recent favorites, or all contacts.
That's cool.
And it's set up as I'm driving with do not disturb while driving turned on. I'll see a message when I arrive at the destination.
I'm going to set one up and it responds, you guys are a select bunch of favourites. Unfortunately, Josh Jansen's not within this. So
so hurtful. But how that's fucking
that
great.
That is cool. So that's
I'm
going to
start. I think I'll start. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start using do not disturb specifically when I'm on shoots. That's I'm currently on a shoot. I'm currently on a shoot, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, it makes you out like a bit of a big dog too. Don't get too...
Yeah, not too automated bullshitting.
It's like, right? Hey guys, this is an auto respond just on a shoot. Like, I think you need the honesty there.
Yeah.
Do you feel this when you get an auto respond message that's very vague or just like, I'm out of...
Yeah.
Range.
The reason that this one works, I think, is because he put an emoji in it and stuff like that.
Cute.
But that is fucking sick.
A bit like personable.
Yeah, and the other thing too.
Except Lucy, the 16-year-old Instagrammer, would not approve. She'd hate the emoji.
She'd put a bus emoji. Just laid on my bar. I think that she uses the bus emoji more than what she wanted to admit. I think she's like, that was a slip. It's like, that's fine.
You can use the bus.
Bus is fine. School bus is running late again. I mean, it's not relevant anymore for her, but we don't need no education. Auto responding. I think I've told this story way back in one of the podcasts, but Bree mentioned it last night because another friend was telling someone else about it. When I read 4-Hour Work Week and I decided to set up an auto responder for people saying I wasn't currently available. And this was early days of sort of this sort of stuff. So I used a really roundabout way. Rather than using like Gmail or Google Apps and doing it all that, I was using Apple Mail to do it. And they had Apple Mail have these rules. So you can set up things where it's like almost like filters, I guess it would be within Google, where it's like if this then that type of thing, and it sorts it all. And I set up a rule which was meant to be, if I receive a message from someone, send them this response. But what I did was I did that without the caveat for new messages. So I sent a message to every single person who's ever emailed me saying I'm currently unavailable. And it was something real wanky, like currently unavailable for the next 40 minutes. Like I check my emails twice daily between this time and this time.
Isn't that... I love... That's so you to take it so literally.
Yeah.
I think it's what young people do, or just people... A lot of
I would have been like 19 at the time, and you just like... You don't know, you don't have your own self filter of like putting it through your own sort of values and brand and all that sort of thing?
Well, I think it's like people watching Gary Vee or anyone who's spruiking business or success, and they start applying the exact thing that they're doing.
Yeah.
And to some degree, like, you see people copying the exact formats that Gary Vee is using as far as, like, I saw one, and I even think it's a bit gross. It's like, Gary Vee started, and I don't know if he's the one who...
Gary Vee, if you don't know, is like an online marketer guy who worked on Wine Library, which was a business his family started, and he turned it into a big e-com business. And now he has VaynerMedia,
which is like a full-service agency, 200 mil rev. Yes. And so he's like the pioneer, so people do listen to him.
Yeah.
And people copy him, is my point. So, you know, the video where you see the red line going across, which basically is showing you how much progress longer you have of the video to watch. I saw someone using that the other day. And it just looks so shit.
Well, people just people emulate. It's and the thing is, like, you'll notice that I took all my post-it notes down. I used to have heaps of post-it notes, but one remains, which is knowing isn't doing. Mm. And that's the thing where it's like all of these, like, Gary wouldn't have been the first at doing this type of thing, right? Yeah. But he's like that big person who is going to make it famous. It's the same with Casey Neistat. Yeah. Casey Neistat will use a gorilla pod, you know, like the flexible pods, for tripods.
Yeah.
And then anyone that has a flexible tripod with a DSLR, it's like, oh, you're a Casey Neistat copycat. It's pretty crazy how we lump these things. And if you're and it's to my point, it's like we spoke about the other day, the 22 immutable laws of marketing. Mm. There's a caveat to being first. It's either being first or being the most popular first, right? Mm. So, like, you can be the first to have a product, but if no one knows about it, there's no point being first.
Yeah. I was thinking of, like, doing a case study and sort of documenting along the way of, like, copying someone else.
Yeah.
Not copying, just copying the style, the format, like, exactly how they've scaled their following or something, and seeing if it actually can work. So we could do it with this podcast, right? We see someone's strategy around how they've created a big audience or online following for their podcast, and you could just literally copy it with our content inserted.
Yeah.
And to see if it actually works, like, to see if there is merit in taking someone else's strategy and applying it to your own with adapting along the way.
Well, slightly. I think that the adapting is the important bit.
Yeah.
So it's like Steal Like an Artist, Austin Kleon's popular book, or Everything's a Remix, or this sort of terminology. What I think works really well is looking beyond like the people that you're trying to, like, say Gary Vee. If you're an online marketer, you can look at other online marketers, but where you'll probably find the most amount of value is looking at, like, three steps away in a different industry or a different time period. So, for instance, this podcast, I use Dignation, which was my favorite podcast. I would listen to or watch it. It was a video podcast. I'd watch it every single week, and I watched it from, I don't know, I think it came out in 2005, and I watched every single episode every single week. I was the person who was emailing in. We should pick up that audio because it's hilarious. I basically send them an email of, like, what should I do? My girlfriend gets upset because after we have sex, I straight away go back onto my computer. And I said,
and they read it out.
They read it out.
That's awesome.
And they thought I was fucked because I basically said that, actually, like, I basically said to them that the should I find
you
the
can't email? Do we'll two do things
it. Yeah,
at
I can't
once.
Do two things at once. So we'll find the email. But there was basically a line in there where it's like, and it's not like I have anything to do on my computer. I end up just spending the time moving around the cursor. They're like, this guy's fucked. So I look at Dignation, and I still can watch their videos today.
Yeah.
And I will, like, once every couple of months when I want a bit of a nostalgia. Nostalgia alert.
Every couple of hours.
I'll watch that. And the funny thing is, it's all old stories. So it's like, Apple is potentially, like, is their new product called the iSlate? This is before the iPad came out.
Oh, God.
And they would do, like, rumors of, like, okay, we've got, like, this is the latest rumor of what's going to be on the iPhone 4.
So I'm just closing the loop of your own story.
Yes.
What was the point of bringing up Dignation?
Dignation, I have used as a bit of a benchmark of like, I fucking loved that. And then I took out like, okay, what were some of the things? It was two mates having a good time, and it was actually less about the news stories, and it was always around the fucking banter in between. And it was about like being honest, and it was about like giving you insight, giving people insight into their actual lives. So it's not just, I think people think, well, you can't just say Brie because no one knows who Brie is. You need to explain that it's your girlfriend. I'm like, actually, that's not the audience that I care about. I want like, you'll eventually, if you don't know who Brie is, you'll eventually fucking join the dots and work it out. Same with Amy, Bodie, all that sort of thing. Yeah. And sometimes if we feel like it, we'll preface it. But so that was, exactly.
Another episode.
Fucking get in
on it.
Get in on it.
So you've taken some inspiration from them into this podcast. I like it.
Yeah. That's another episode, I think.
Yeah, 30 minutes.
The daily.
Josh just did a hurricane swirl with his finger.
I felt a bit Sam Cav. It's like, I've seen
wrap
him.
Wrap it up, guys.
I've seen him do a bit of that gear before. Yeah. Like when I was working on FIFA and Jules, like a bit of a. Or what other show? I can't remember. But it does feel a little novel because I feel like. It's more for him to feel like he's doing something than actually
swirling your finger, like wrap it up. Yeah, wrap it up. Hey, come on, wrap it up, guys. We're wrapping it up.
Yeah, so the Daily Talk Show.
You realise that if I didn't wrap up or try to bring your story back to
there would have been no point.
We would have gone for another 15 minutes. That's
true. Michelle, thank you so much for all your emails. I see that there's one with the tracking number for our first bit of mail that we're getting in the PO box.
Oh.
And so I'm going to... Tommy and I are sitting down to work out our email so I can actually get it sorted so we have one inbox and we can be checking it together.
If you don't video you going to get this,
I 100%
and make a video about this, I'll be disappointed. And Michelle will be disappointed.
And Sean, thank you for the review as well on iTunes. That was on the podcast app. That was very much appreciated. And if you were thinking, hang on, this podcast isn't shit, your reviews help because it means that other people can know that it's not shit
not
and we
shit.
Can dominate the iTunes. Like, one day, Tommy, we will be in the top 10.
That'd be nice.
For like half a day.
I saw someone post up yesterday, they're in the top four. Craig Bruce in the Game
Changers. So that was a podcast episode level. So it's different.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that when we get some of our big dog mates on the show, they can pull big audiences. But until then, we'll take whatever.
Yeah.
But a review would be nice and it helps. P.O. Box. So you don't have to send your review via the P.O. Box, but we do have the P.O. Box, which is P.O. Box 400, Abbotsford, Victoria 3067. And our email address is hi@thedailytalkshow.com. TJ, have a good day.
Bye, guys. Everyone.